Everyone still remaining, please open up your phones or open up your Bibles, wherever your Bible's located, to Luke chapter 18. We're going to get there in just a second, just a few minutes. You know, the longer someone is a Christ follower, I believe the more you will be taught by Jesus the power of prayer and how he prayed and how he taught others to pray and how he modeled prayer. And really, you think about it, I mean, some of the things we've already mentioned about the power of prayer earlier this morning, of just the people that are here, like our brother Art and our brother Tim. And you go down through our list, and there's a lot of things that are going on in a positive way, even though some of them are continuing to go on. It's good to see Brother Bob here this morning. We've been praying. He's been gone for 3 weeks because he's been dealing with so much discomfort. And you can talk to him about what all that consists of, but I have a feeling what you're going to hear from him, he's going to say God was the one that relieved him and helped him through this period of time, even though he could not be with us, that the power of prayer was felt. So we're thankful that he's here. We continue to pray for the cannons, even though part of it's not a health issue, it's a transportation issue. I start looking at all the physical things as we go down through. Brother Lionel's back here today. You ask him about the power of prayer today, because he found out some news. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little hint. They found what they thought might be a cancer possibility. There is no cancer. So we're thankful for that. So, yeah. Continue our prayers for Barbara Edens, and you just go down through the list of people, even names that are relatives that are struggling. Our brother Tom Killinger, especially, definitely be praying for him and Debbie. They want to be here so bad. His back is just bothering so bad. I told him, I said, if we have to bring you in on a gurney, we'll bring you in. If we have to pull one of those red chairs, we'll make sure we'll fight everybody else off those red chairs, those recliners, and we'll put you in one and be able to do that if all possible. But he's been having so much pain to where he can hardly even stand and walk. Mary Nichols, I believe, was here last week. Is she back in her corner back there? No, okay, all right. So she's unable to make it this week. But she's got some struggles even with family issue. Marty Shire, let's not forget Steve and her. Let's contact them this week. She's been having to take some chemo treatments that keeps her away from being in crowds because she can catch things pretty easily. And so if I miss anybody, I don't do that deliberately. It's just that we have a list this long, if not longer, each week for people to be praying for. But one of the things that, not saying that I want to add to a list already, but you've heard me talking about the prayer of spirituality, talking about spiritual matters to God. And that's what I want to deal with today, but realize that our prayers can be hindered. We have an enemy that does not want us to connect with God at all. He does not want us to rely on God for spiritual matters. God gets some blame that is undeserving from people a lot when they pray for only physical things. Because with physical things, you know, I've ran into people plenty of times. I prayed hard about my mother. I prayed hard about my sister to be healed, but they passed away. So your loving God that you say is so loving wasn't very loving to me. You know, you hear comments like that. And so I think what we have to learn is that there is a power of prayer in spiritual matters that go along with physical matters. And I just want to explain the next couple of weeks some things that's been laid on my heart about how we can increase our prayers to be maybe even, if you want to say, out of balance between physical prayers and spiritual matter prayers. Because it's hard for us in the flesh to believe that sin is more serious than cancer. It's really hard for us to see that. Even though I want cancer to be some kind of cure found. October was a whole month of wearing, guys wearing pink, everybody wearing pink, just trying to get to the point where we keep it in the forefront, that we understand that we need to find a cure for this disease. But along with it, we have a cure for sin. And you would think we would spread it a lot faster than we would to cure cancer. But our flesh just doesn't seem to understand. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I can share some things to increase our amount of what am I praying for. I want to pray for all these physical things, but how do I pray in a spiritual way for the people going through the physical things? How do I pray for people in a spiritual way that have no physical problems, but they have a sin problem? So how do I do that? The more Jesus cleanses you and I of our own unrighteousness and makes us right in the sight of God, the more powerful your prayers will be. I mean, James actually said that. The prayers of righteous people are very powerful and they are very effective. And so, if you never even consider yourself as being somebody ever being used by God in order to be able to lead somebody to Jesus, to where their relationship with Jesus by you talking and sharing and all that, even if you're not there, I'm already praying for you that that will change. Because we have a cure that we can't keep to ourselves. We have a cure that we need to start talking about. And that's the cure of sin, being the blood of Jesus Christ. I get asked questions like, why does your church take communion every week? Well, I know it's an example in Scripture. I'm not quite so sure there is that every Sunday kind of command and everything. We get so caught into the method command. But it's what's in it. I don't know about you, I need to be reminded every day what Jesus has done for me. And maybe once a week is not enough. I was told by a brother at one time, you can't do it more than once a week. But if you do it less than once a week, it's wrong too. That's another lesson. We're going to be talking about law and methods and stuff on Wednesday night, producing the fruit. So come back on Wednesday night at 7. We'll talk about that. But the more Jesus will cleanse you and I with our prayers, it's approaching God with our own spiritual matter so that we can approach Him about other people's spiritual matter. If I don't think I'll ever be used by God to lead somebody to Jesus, then begin with praying them to Jesus and letting Christ purify you so that your prayers will be very powerful and very effective. The more a church family takes prayer seriously about spiritual matters is a church, I believe, that will bring glory to God. So if we're 95 or 98% physical prayers happening in our church family, can we make it a goal to increase our spiritual matter prayers so that we won't be out of balance? Because no matter what we think about spiritual matter prayers, no matter what we think about physical matter prayers affect the spiritual matter of people. And spiritual matters of people affect the physical matters. I mean, have you ever been told that you can get cancer because of stress? Have you ever been told that you could have a heart attack because of stress? How can we handle stress? There's this wonderful peace relationship with God that can help with stress. And so, let's deal with, go ahead, turn on the back of your bulletin here, or your family news. I'm not going to give these to you and talk about them specifically. I'm going to give you what they are. I want you to go home, look up the verse. I don't want to take you to take my word for it. Look up those verses, see what it says. But I just want to quickly go through some things that can hinder my prayer life, your prayer life, and the way not to pray. Okay? Number one is do not pray with false motives. Do not pray with false motives. Go ahead, go home, look up James chapter 4. If they have selfishness involved in your prayers, we need to get the selfishness out of them. So don't pray with false motives. I pray that that person will change so that they would treat me better. That's kind of a selfish notice and motive. And I may catch some flack with this from a few of my friends, but praying that you'll win the lottery. Is tiptoeing around a false motive. Okay? Now, number two, way not to pray is with unforgiven sin. If you know you've got sin that you're dealing with and you keep going to God in prayer and prayer, but you're not dealing with the sin and you're not taking it to Him asking God, please forgive me, that's going to hinder your prayers. A life that keeps sin between you and God, Isaiah said, separates you from Him. And it's going to hinder the power of your prayer. Number three, idolatry. Idolatry. This is not just having a little Buddha doll in the corner of your bedroom. This is talking about things that you put ahead of God. And brothers and sisters, your schedule can be an idol. It can be an idol. Okay? But we got to get those things taken care of so it won't hinder our prayers. Here's one found. I know it's one that we're learning and still trying to learn as we serve the people in our community with the food pantry. Stinginess. Proverbs 21 deals with this. It's really a heart that lacks compassion for needy people and is not generous in giving. They're stingy. You know you don't need it. You know you have excess. But you blame the person that's in need for the problem of their need instead of you just giving. Giving in a wise way. Giving in a good steward way. That's where you got to pray for wisdom, and those are spiritual matters that we need to ask for. Okay? Number five. This is a rough one. A dishonoring relationship in a marriage. Macy talks about the responsibility for men not to dishonor their wife. But also, I do believe this is a two-way avenue. I do believe the wives' prayers can be hindered when they dishonor their husband. But Peter deals with the husband dishonoring his wife. Your prayers can be hindered. They'll lack power. Having, number six, an unforgiving spirit. Where you want God to forgive you, but you're unwilling to forgive others. That will hinder your prayer life. And then the last one, definitely, and this is not a put down, it's just a realization, an unbelieving heart. Now, this does not have to deal with people who go to church, not go to church. How many times do we see that in Scripture that Jesus challenges his own disciples about their doubt? Okay? Doubting can hinder the power of your prayer because you doubt God will do something before you even ask or do the right thing. So what do we do with these? Before we get to the way we should pray, these are the things we got to deal with so it won't hinder our prayers. What we do is what James says. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then the prayers of a righteous person is very powerful and effective. Pray for each other. If you got idolatry in your life, ask somebody to pray for you. If you got unforgiving spirit in your life where you're just not willing to forgive another person for what they've done to you, but you want God to forgive you, ask somebody to pray for you and confess that. If you have some kind of bad attitude towards people who are poor and needy, ask other people to pray for you. This is where I love to use Brother Foyle as an example, because him and I had long talks the first time that he started to come here, and he came over to the food pantry, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, I just went ahead and listened to it. I didn't want to get hot and heavy about it or anything, but there was very few things he thought was good about the pantry when he came over for the first time to even work the pantry. He had more faults to find about the pantry than it was anything good that came out of it. But he kept coming. He was determined. He prayed about it. He asked me to pray for him about it. And to the point, his heart totally changed. And he saw glimpses of things that can be done, maybe even done better, to where we could change our hearts about reaching out to the needy people. So, now, Jesus wants his church to grow spiritually and numerically, okay, with numerically. Right, he wants us to grow in number. Here's what I believe. I don't believe the numbers will come in a healthy way if the spirituality isn't. Because if I don't pray about my own spirituality and my own peace with God, I'm not going to love people. If I don't love people, I'm not going to invite people. If I'm not going to invite people, then they're not going to come. And then what we do is we have church buildings filled with just people who already believe. I mean, that's why I see John now here this morning. I applaud a young man's heart that says, I'd just like to reach out to our community. You mean we're going to do it and we're not going to meet downstairs and talk about reaching our community? You mean we're going to actually go out and do reaching out to our community? Really? Well, that's a profound idea. And so we go out and we do it. Now we got contacts. Now what do we do with that? I believe we pray over them and we ask God to bring some people to us. And expect it. Expect it. Because when I expect God to move upon his will, he moves. We'll talk about that in a little bit. If this church is to grow spiritually and numerically, we must prepare ourselves for growth, and that preparation must begin with a commitment to pray in the behalf of each other's growth. Here's a hard challenge, church. If you are in the state of mind that I don't want any more coming to this church because it'll get too big, tell me, because I want to pray for you. I really do. Because the kingdom must grow. God wants it. We're getting closer to Jesus' return. And there's a lot of people not ready. And that should hurt us to do something about it. As much as we can do. We can't do it, though. I can't do it. If I'm just going to do it on my motives and my strength, I'm not going to do it. Because I tell you, half the time I don't feel like doing it. And that's why we need the power of prayer. In Acts chapter 1, immediately after Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples and the women were constantly in prayer. In Acts 2:42, we're told that the early church was devoted to prayer. Prayer was one of the greatest is one of the greatest and the most underutilized weapons that we have as a church at our disposal. Jesus knew this ahead of time. That's why he told his disciples about this next parable. So I'm just going to read it. I'm going to give you the 3 points, and then I want you to chew on it at home, and we'll catch up with it next week. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus knew his apostles were going to struggle wholeheartedly after he went back to the Father if he didn't teach them some things. Starting in verse 1, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So he says, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So the first one, here's your first fill in the blank. Here's the way to pray. We need to be praying with persistent prayer. Let me ask you just a few questions, and I want you to answer this, and I want you to hear yourself answer it out loud. If it's anything but yes, you can kind of just answer it underneath your tongue. Okay? Here's the questions. Do you want this church to grow? Do you want to be revived? Do Do you want to see the Spirit of God light us on fire?
Yes.
Do you want to see people coming to repentance and being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? If you said yes to any of these questions, then start persistently praying for these things. Okay? Pray it for each other and pray it for yourself. And ask other people to pray for you too. I want revived. I want you this morning to leave, before you leave here, and find somebody and say, would you pray for me that I'll be revived? Actually, I'm going to go ahead and tell this one because it's already been done. Brother Ray Catlett's back there. Go ahead and raise your hand. I know everybody that hasn't met Ray. Karen, his lovely wife's right beside him. Actually, they're the family that said that he would help John Quavius out with this thing. So they told me not to tell anybody, but I had to say something. Yeah. But you know what he told me? He said, I got to get involved because I've grown stagnant and I'm not happy with it. And I want to do something about it. Isn't that incredible? Karen, I want to ask you this question because you look at every bit of 25 as I've ever seen 25. But Ray, how old are you? Sick.
I always celebrated my 29th birthday and then I couldn't do the math.
Okay. But around mid-60s, heading on to the 70 mark. Okay. I remember a really young man in Scripture that was 100 years old that God said, now I want to use you for a big, 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 big service. And he went out and did it. I admire our older generation that says there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. I admire that. Because young folks, who's a young folk in here? Well, Richard's one. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm looking at him right here. Drew's years. Here's the young adults area. You need them, and they need you. And we need to be persistent in our prayer about the kingdom to grow and God to use us whatever way he wants to use us. I believe when we're persistently praying that God will revive us, that God will light us on fire, that people will come to repentance and be baptized just because we had a hayride or because we had a fall festival or we invited them to come on a Wednesday night or come and hear this preacher or whatever. I don't care who's preaching. But if you just come, it's not about the people here. It's about who we believe and who we're following in, and he will change your life. And when he does that, you can be a part of our family because you're going to find out the preacher's imperfect. You're going to find out that there's people that are older that are imperfect, and you're going to find out that the young people are imperfect. But we're just trying to learn how to love each other in a perfect way. So come and do that with us. When that becomes our off-the-paper mission statement and motto and gets into our hearts and our minds and gets into our everyday getting out of bed and everybody that I come in contact with, then I start asking the John Quavius, says, give me some names of those people that came last Wednesday night. I couldn't make it. I couldn't get involved, but I can make a couple of phone calls for Jesus my Lord. Because he can do something about changing their life. And I'll do it. And I won't doubt. Revive me. From what I understand, Brother Ray, have you been revived since coming here? Okay. He's been revived. And it's not because of anything that we've done or I've done. It's because of what he's decided to do, and that was to get involved. And that's where the revival is. Number two, be insistent in your prayer. That's what the widow was. She was insistent on justice. She needed help with justice against her adversary. Remember, she was a widow. If you need to study what a widow went through in Jesus' time, you need to hear what they went through. They were alone. They were vulnerable. They needed help with provision. They needed protection. And she went to this judge. And he didn't care about what anybody thought about him. He didn't care what that woman was about ready to say. He didn't fear God. He was a judge. And what Jesus is trying to say is if a judge that doesn't fear God and a judge that doesn't care about people actually gives this widow what she was asking for, then why do you think God's not going to give you what you need? If you want revived, he's going to revive you. You better get ready for it. If you want to be involved, get ready. Because he'll get you involved. Be insistent with that. God loves righteousness and justice. Next week, we're going to talk about praying in a way that is according to God's will, not praying in a way that's selfish. We got to pray in order and ask God for things that he will in return give us. And we know he'll give it to us if we just believe in his word. And the last one I'll leave you with is be consistent with it. Persistent, insistent, and consistent. Keep going back to God over and over and over again. He loves you. You know what? He would just love it if his children would increase their time with him. You will never, ever talk too much to God. I may preach too long for you, but he'll never get tired of hearing what I love for him to do through me. And just keep asking and keep on knocking. And the door is going to be open in opportunities, right? If you needed to respond in any way, nothing but the blood, right, David? All right? I can't take care of your sin. I can't wash it away. I can forgive any sin that you've committed towards me. But if you are here and you say, I just don't know enough about Jesus, I got a need to get to know about his teachings and his principles. One of the good ways to do it is just start practicing his principles and see if it changes something. And then I believe your belief in him will start happening. And I'm talking to people who have been in church for a long, long time. So if you need to respond in any way, we're family, and we want to be able to hear from you, and I know God wants